That's what I was waiting for. Okay, it's 7 o'clock roughly, and to call the Common Council meeting to order, let's say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Weigold.
Here.
Warwick.
Here.
Romine.
Right here.
Enrod.
Here.
Simpson.
Here.
In front of you are the minutes from the March 13th meeting of the Common Council. All members were present that day. Any questions, comments, concerns about those? Hearing none, can I have a motion? I did not find anything in this one.
So moved. Okay.
Second.
Motion by Jackie, seconded by Nicole. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. There's four votes, without Romine being here. Ordinances and resolutions, do we have any of those tonight? I don't believe so. Okay. Committee reports, we'll start with Bill and the Parking Committee.
Hey, we have a Parking Committee report. Just some of the things that the Parking Committee's, come to a... I guess what we will probably be asking the council to look at would be adding a handicap spot in front of the Cluxton. That would take one parking spot that's currently there, the first one north of the alley on the west side in front of the Cluxton, and taking that first spot, making a handicap spot. Adding to the ordinance the six parking spots that are police only in front of the jail that have always been there, at least to my memory, but have never been authorized by the ordinance. The two police parking spots that are on the east side of Chauncey Street in front of in front of City Hall aren't authorized by the ordinance, so we wanted to add those to the ordinance. Although I think we might move them to the west side when the mayor's spot moves to the city parking lot. I think the consensus is asking to have the parking fines increased to $10 from the current $5. And there's part of the ordinance in 7110 that's hasn't been used by the city so far. It's on towed vehicles and impounding them and taking them to a city lot and the fines and fees that are assessed for that. We just wanted to, even though it hasn't been used yet, we wanted to update it to current standards. For instance, the impound or the storage fee was $5 a day in the ordinance, and the fee from all of the towing companies are $20 a day. So we just wanted to update it in the event that that was going to be used. Then the city parking lot, taking a look at how we can improve parking there or increase parking there. And so far, the most promising thing is adding to the parking lot on the west side, on the Line Street side. And I think that would add 8 or 9 spots is what we've come up with. And that solution is going to be significantly cheaper than buying the lot that we discussed earlier, the house. I think a rough estimate on that was pretty close to $100,000. And it looks like we could do the extension to the one we've got on property that we already own for less than 10. I think so. That's about 10% of that. There's still some issues that are out there. We still have some downtown parking issues that we want to take a look at, and some issues out at Eagle Glen that we want to take a closer look at. But that's pretty much where we're at so far on it.
Okay. Any questions about the parking? Okay. Are there any other committee reports?
The police committee on the police hours and stuff will be meeting Thursday. I can't remember who's on it.
The police committee?
Dan and me and Tim.
And that meets the committee
Thursday morning.
Meets Thursday morning at 7:30, I believe.
Okay. Great. Look forward to hearing from guys while you guys talking about deciding. It's great. Okay, other things that we have. I promise we'll start beefing up this agenda soon. I promise. Just give me time.
We bring something to the council for cemetery.
Oh.
Cemetery hours.
Yes, thank you. Appreciate that. Do you want to kind of report on what we talked about? And we'll have to put it in ordinance form, but yeah.
Well, currently there doesn't seem to be any restrictions to the hours that people can visit the cemetery. There seems to be some extracurricular activities going on after 11 o'clock at night or after it gets dark. So one of the things, when the police officers go out to take care of the situation, there's no wording in place to put teeth into the fact that you need to leave. So what we were looking at is possibly making a visitation to the cemetery between 5 a.m. in the morning till 11 o'clock at night. And then that way it references the same hours as the park. Currently there isn't anything in place for fines or, it's just saying, hey, you're not allowed to be here during those times. So I think we're going to be putting it into an ordinance to recommend to the council that we use those hours as a time period of being allowed to be at those locations.
So that will be an ordinance that will...
I think that we ought to look at putting some teeth into it, though.
Right.
Even if it's, minimal, I think we need to put some teeth into it. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to say you can't do something, but if you do, nothing's going to happen to you.
Right.
This was...
We talked about that briefly, but not, we didn't come up with any kind of a fine or a, that's the same thing with the park. It's just, they say, hey, you can't be back here. So maybe there needs to be a disciplined factor involved, I suppose, with what's going on.
I think if we go down that road and as we craft those ordinances, obviously going alongside with Marcia and talking with her about maybe some suggestions that she has in regards to putting some enforcement to that, I think would be very important, and that we'll, that I think that's probably the route we need to go. So based on our the reason the Board of Works is suggesting that is because based on our ordinances, the Board of Works has the control of the cemeteries, and so it would come as a recommendation, which actually I think we approved that recommendation, for the council to pass an ordinance that does that exact thing. So I don't know if Dan or Bill or a combination of both want to kind of take that on as an ordinance and talk with Marcia about that. It's kind of however you guys want to talk about that and figure that out. And hopefully maybe we can start getting that.
Sure.
Maybe get it on the next agenda. I'd love to be able to do that if we can put Marcia to the test there.
Yeah.
So we have something on the agenda?
Yeah, that'll be fun. Two ordinances to discuss.
We may have to take a little time from Marcia's schedule, but we'll see what we can do.
That won't be a problem for me to do as long as I know what you want to do penalty-wise.
And does Chief need to be involved in that discussion in some way, shape, or form?
I think that would be appropriate.
Okay. Very good. Any further discussion on anything else before we go to department reports? Yeah. Good. Okay.
I guess I do have one thing.
Yeah.
I've received another complaint, and this has been five or six in the last, a couple during the campaign, and then I think three after the election, but of complaints on the traffic at Lincoln Way and 30.
Mm.
Some of the people that have come to me have lived in town, and they're having what they feel it's dangerous crossing that intersection when they're crossing US 30 or turning on to US 30. The most recent one actually lived outside of town, I think, but was currently getting ready to move inside town. That was just last week that talked to me about it. So I think it's appropriate that we take a look and see what the traffic situation is in that intersection, and maybe if we can get some accident information from the police department and see what historically what's happened at that intersection, and maybe get the Department of Transportation involved in finding a solution to the grievances there.
Right. Yes. I think if anybody can appreciate that intersection, I think someone who grew up on the corner of that intersection, I can tell you how many times we were awakened to the sound of crashing metal. So,
well, it's a state intersection, right, for mm-hmm. the most part.
And I agree. I think putting the facts together and the information, because obviously that is another entrance into our city that has definitely been dangerous over the years. And I think part of that is clearing, as we've talked about, is making sure there's an understanding from the residents as to how people turn. But furthermore, just the way in which it's angled causes a lot of the problems itself. So.
And I think the DOT would be a good partner in that because mm-hmm. they have engineers that I'm sure understand those concepts better than I do. But
agreed.
But I think we'll need that information if we can put it together. What would be the procedure then of contacting them?
We can do it multiple ways. I mean, I think that probably getting the information together obviously is the first step. We probably could pass a sense, if you will, a sense of the council, sense of the city is, you know, that this is an intersection that has issues that we would like the Department of Transportation to take a look at. I think that would be a fair way to go about doing it. Can't promise that it will go anywhere at NDOT, but we hope that it does, since obviously the council maybe or maybe not feel that sense. Go ahead.
Well, if we can get the information from the police department in a timely manner, then we could have it on the agenda for next month and try to. Is that safe to say?
What are you gonna have on the agenda?
It's basically for us to express the sense of the city is an area that NDOT needs to look at. For safety reasons, for the safety of our citizens, kind
Absolutely.
Of thing. And we probably can work on the language of that. I don't know how we. Marcia, do you have a suggestion on how maybe we should put that together? That maybe.
You mean in a letter form to them?
Well, yeah. I mean, sure. Basically, just it's a way in which we can express the sense of the city.
Yeah, we can. In our meeting, we could.
Okay.
If the council would allow that. We're meeting Thursday.
Yeah.
So we could.
Is that okay if Marcia and I kind of come up with something?
Put something together.
Bill, you and I can kind of chat ahead of time, and I can.
I did know a citizen wrote a letter to NDOT asking for a speed reduction between 9 and 205 and no Jake brakes.
Was
supposedly a study was done and came back with a letter. That's probably not going to happen.
Okay.
We kind of thought, with the no Jake brakes and no my neighborhood, they're quite loud at night. And it seems that Warsaw seems to have a no Jake brake. Sign up. I mean, it's a sign. It does what it's meant to do. But that I know the resident was turned down. So I don't know if it needs a bigger body to take a look at that.
Us.
But I know she was turned down for that.
Okay. Well, Chief, I'm going to ask a question real quick. I've noticed that both the guardrails on the south side of the 205 and 30 intersection are damaged. If we had been having accidents there, or at least had, because I noticed one side was damaged, and then like the next week another side was damaged. All three? Oh, there's.
But they were replaced.
Okay. Well, I guess I'm just wondering.
Had accidents there recently.
Okay.
Get full stats from Lincoln Way and 30. Those crashes we've had there. I wonder if we should also pull the other intersections.
some comparative analysis.
What those numbers look like.
Okay.
Actually, the state should be able to, all those accident reports are done, they go into a system called ARIES.
Right.
And the state should be able to access all those and pull those up. And we can do that as well.
Yeah. I think sometimes leading the horse to water is probably a good plan, too.
But we can pull all those, and that way we kind of can compare intersection to intersection and see what we have there.
Yeah. That sounds like a good idea. Okay, great. Thanks, everyone, for that one. Appreciate that. Anything else before we go to department reports?
There was one. Martha sent us an email about replacing Roger, and she said to let us to decide when we wanted that on the agenda.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, basically, I believe it's for the Economic Development Commission or something to that effect?
I think that's what it said.
Counties. It's the Whitley County Economic Development Commission.
And Roger was the city council appointment. Basically, for this commission, looks like his term is until February the 1st of 2014. So it would be to, and he has resigned from that council, or from that appointment, I guess. So we would need another nomination, I believe, for that position or for that appointment to come from the city council.
Does it have to be someone on the council?
I don't believe so. I believe it's a nomination. Let me read this real quick. Okay. It's just a nomination from the city council. If one of you would like to be on it, it looks like Commissioner Rethlick is there for the commissioners, Kent Hoffman for the county council, and the appointment.
Oh,
well, but that's the expiration date of 07, so I don't know. I guess I can't say.
Yeah, he's still. I called her or talked to her.
Okay.
He is still on it, and so is Rethlick, and they said as soon as we decide, they need to know because they're refinancing some of their bonds, and they're going to be having meetings.
They're going to need somebody. So,
can we nominate now, or do we need to wait till the next meeting?
No.
You can because you have a quorum. You can nominate now and make the offer the appointment if you'd like to do that.
Okay. What is Ben on already?
Ben is on Redevelopment Commission. Ben is on Redevelopment Commission. I don't believe he's on any other boards or commissions.
No, not because he's not here, but I think this is something he'd like.
Yeah, he would.
So what you could do is you could appoint him and he can choose if he does not want to take that. He could, and then at the next council meeting, you can appoint someone else if he chooses not to accept that appointment.
Okay, so I move we appoint Ben.
I second.
Okay, so.
First, second.
Okay, so Nicole has first.
Has nominated.
Nicole has made a motion to appoint Ben Romine to the Whitley County Economic Development Commission. Jackie has seconded. Pending Ben's approval, yes. Jackie has seconded that. Any further discussion? All those in favor, show by the usual sign. Four votes. Four. Ben is not here to vote one way or another. So pending Ben's approval. He will be the city council appointment until February 1st of 2014 to the Whitley County Economic Development Commission. Okay, other issues. Okay, let's start with Mike this time. I'm sorry, I didn't give you enough time, but we'll start with Mike and for department reports and go from there.
Okay, mailed off our NPDS permit application today to IDEM. Hopefully we'll get that back soon for get the draft back so we can review that. We've come up with our report a couple weeks ago. We were having trouble with the pressure transmitter on our dice door, the digester. We finally have that part number and a price quote back from Siemens, and I was not happy with their price. So we're going to be investigating, see if we can get that part somewhere cheaper, and then also see if we can install it ourselves. We drained, cleaned, and inspected all five aeration tanks. Last week, we started the first one on Tuesday, done another one on Wednesday, and then Thursday, I had to hand it to my guys. They really put it together, and we done three of them on Thursday. That was pumping them all the way down, washing them out, spraying the diffusers with acid, cleaning them, and filling them back up, and we were done by 5:30 on Thursday to beat the storms.
Wow, great.
So I give a huge thank you to them. They've done a fantastic job on that. Main Street, number one pump, has been shut down. I believe they have a problem with the seal. We're working with the contractor that installed that, and also SNL, the manufacturer of the station. We've installed three new signs at the facility up there, and I thank Kelly for that. He helped me order those signs, and we got those installed today. It's just stating a notice authorized personnel beyond this point. Just for safety and liability reasons, as big as the facility is now, that it's posted, so if anybody is past that, it's there's a warning there. And like Mark said, we started mowing, unfortunately, but and stations were started today and should be finished up tomorrow, so that's all I have.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Terry?
Been working out at the park, upgrading the park computer office product so they're all in the same version, and also setting up a new computer for their new position that they're going to be hiring. We added two surge suppressors to cameras at the park. Again, we're trying to stop some power damage to the cameras. Finished moving the computers and the printers and the database at the MSF, so that's all finished up. I just need to work with Sean and moving the SCADA system. And continue to update Facebook and the website. That's all I have.
Okay. Questions? Thank you, Terry. Mike?
We ran a new service line for 401 North Oak Street, and then we put in a 6-inch T in the hydrant on the other corner up there at that intersection of Oak and North Street, and then tore out the old 4-inch hydrant that wasn't operating very good anymore. We fixed a leak on a 1-inch service line out on Governor's Drive. Had 28 locates last week, and then been working on the permit process or the permit application for the City Ford water line extension. Got two signatures on it now. The third one should have hopefully by the end of this week. And then the material is ordered for that job. Some of it's going to start arriving next week. So hopefully toward the end of April, we'll start laying that main out there. And the week of April 16th to 20th, we're going to flush all the hydrants in the system. So that's it.
Questions of Mike? Thank you, Mike. Jeff?
Finished up an Indiana Finance Authority needs survey that had been requested through IDEM last week, and also turned in our semi-annual reports to IDEM's SRF division this week for reporting on the use of our funds for loan 2 and 3, which is the miscellaneous improvements project, and then the LTCP project. Last Thursday, I met with county officials and GAI on the QESI sewer and water study project. And thanks to Mike Cook and Mike Deere, I think that the city, we now have all the information into them so that they can start putting everything, packaging everything together. I do know that there will be a public meeting with the invitation to the QESI area public once this gets put together. And there is, I got an email today, an official representative from QESI that will be meeting with us now, kind of as a citizen liaison, so to speak. The mayor and Alan Teo and myself and IMPA representatives met with an industry today that is working both locally and through a grant to provide efficiencies to their operations and are looking at how that's going to affect their billing and making sure that the city is within the loop on what's going on with them. And that's why we have IMPA here continue to work with them on that for the mutual benefit. Last but not least, I sent out a report last week regarding my investigation on the fuel issue and at the request of Councilman Simpson. You now are as educated about that as I am. So if we're going to take it to the next level, I would say that we probably should get someone like Bill Auer in here to explain the nuances and how that whole prospect would go. Certainly open to suggestions from the council.
I don't think I got that email, so.
Really?
No, sir. That's what I was just thinking. I wonder if I got left out that
one. Yeah,
yeah. If you could resend that, that'd be great.
My apologies. I was just sure I sent it.
Okay. That would explain the stairs.
I thought that my explanation in that memo was so crystal clear. I was just sure. My apologies. I did investigate it, and I will get that to you post haste.
Thank you, Jeff. Sorry about that. Questions to Jeff, besides talking about the fuel stuff. Okay, Larry.
We are continuing with our stump grinding project, and is moving along slowly. And we had an outage at Countryside last winter, lost a phase. Rerouted the circuit, and we got out there this week, got a board, put conduit in so we can make our complete circuit that way, and back feed. trim behind the Big Ten Center, we've been wanting to do that for a while. We finally got that completed. Change the junction box at Columbia Parkway. Continuing our fall changing, we changed one on the Spirit Road, changed one at Lakeshore Drive. Also working on our string connectors and still changing some of those. And also I made a presentation to the Board of Works about the need of the whole building for the street department. It'll help them out along with us. We can take over the building that they are in now. And I was instructed to get the specs written up and get some bids in. And that's it.
Questions of Larry? Thank you, Larry. Tim?
Last week I had the opportunity to go to Chief School, which is at the Law Enforcement Academy. Gained some valuable training there. I had a chance to network with other new chiefs all over the state of Indiana. There's 58 new chiefs in the state. So I had a chance to meet with a lot of those guys and go over issues and programs that they are kind of working on. So it was nice to do that. We have scheduled a drug awareness program for April 26th at 6 p.m. It's going to be held at the Peabody Library. That class was coordinated with the school system, and they're going to put an email out for parents to attend this class. The class will address the growing problem we have with K2, spice, bath salts, and other illegal drugs. And Detective Stevenson will be putting on that class. And we're also going to schedule a part of class for the council too. We'll have a short session that you put on as well for council.
And I requested that, if that's okay with everyone, just to update people about K2 and spice and And Bill, you probably could just lean back and enjoy that time. No, I meant because of your, just so I'm clear, just because of your expertise in your past drug enforcement, that I figured you knew everything you need to know about.
I thought maybe you were implying that I was going to smoke some cake.
No, I was not implying such things. Thank you. Sorry.
Oh, that's fine. Real soon here, we're going to start a committee of various officers to be part of a policy committee, where we can sit down and together collectively go through our police policies and determine whether we need to make some changes or leave them as they are. Next week, we will participate in the active shooter training. That's just to train officers on how to respond constantly to an active shooter situation. Basically, it's the first officers on the scene and how they should properly handle those situations. We will do. We're going to have two of those this year. One of them is next week, and the other one is September, October. That's why I thank the school system for allowing us to use the school facilities to conduct that training. Our new Dodge Charger arrived last week, so we do have our 2012 Charger now. Today we took it to get stripes put on it, and then we'll go to the city mechanic to get wiring, lighting, all those things done to it. So it may be a couple weeks yet before we get it out on the road, but we do have it.
And then all the city officials will get a ride through around the city in it, right, or something, right?
Sure. Would you like to?
Any questions of Tim? Thank you, Tim. Mark.
Baseball and softball are definitely underway. Registration is up in both baseball and softball, especially softball. It's very high. So they've done a great job. They've had softball evaluation day was rained out, but they tried to do some tonight for the kids wanting to move up. Baseball had their evaluation last weekend. It went really well. So it's underway, and practices have started, and uniforms are ordered, so it's definitely taken off. Mother's Son event, April 27th, is we're selling tickets for that, and we'll probably do some more publicity on that, but really word starting to get out on that. People are excited about that. So I think that'll be a neat event. Started mowing this week, as Mike said. Definitely, as everybody's noticed, the grass is very high and thick and wet, and kind of a lot to do for your first mowing, but that's what we're doing now, a lot of. We started something this past weekend where we had a staff person work Saturday for 4 hours and Sunday for 4 hours. We've never done that. Basically, they stayed very busy picking up trash, communicating with people that are renting facilities, also cleaning bathrooms, and made Monday much easier, much better coming into work. So that was a good thing for us, and definitely something I look forward to doing in the future. We'll be doing that through the fall. So, Wygents has been awarded a bid to disc the bowl, add drainage, and grade it for potentially putting the field down there in the future, baseball field. So we're kind of doing this in phases. First phase would just be getting it graded, putting grass seed down, getting an infield in there, and then we'll worry about the dugouts and everything like that later. So we're kind of getting a start on that. We interview tomorrow and Thursday, a bunch of interviews for new position park. And I wanted to spread the word. The Easter egg hunt that Rotary puts on now is actually on April 5th at 6 o'clock, just so they can get some publicity in the paper about that. That'll be down at the baseball fields. And we're in the middle of getting bids for the trail and the bridge project. We'll be opening those bids April 12th at 3:30. And so we had a pre-bid meeting for that yesterday morning. We have a lot of contractors here asking questions. That went really well. And we delivered leaf mulch. You'll see leaf mulch around all of our gardens around the park. So either the master gardeners are going to put that on, or Community Corrections will next week. Hopefully we get all that done. There's a lot of leaf mulch laying around. They look nice when the mulch is put down. So I'd like to thank the Master Gardeners for the work they've done. They've already been out there hitting those gardens pretty hard. It's a lot of work. So that's it.
Mark, you might explain what you're doing to your employees so they don't think you're paying them overtime.
Oh, yeah, okay. Sorry, that's a good point. Yeah, they're not getting overtime. Basically, what they're doing is they're picking a time each week to take 4 hours off and making that up on Saturday or Sunday. So I don't pay my employees overtime that much. I'm not budgeted for that. So for now, we're doing this with full-time staff. Once the part-time staff begin, we'll be doing this with part-time staff.
I want to mention I saw Matt Hayden on, I think it was maybe
Sunday?
Yeah. I saw him out with the park truck, so.
Yeah.
It was good. We have what, 90 applications for that position?
We did.
For the open position. So it's, yeah. Okay. Other questions, Mark?
I do. What's happening with the pool, Mark? What's going on there?
The pool is definitely opening. I mean, that's a plan. Never said we were going to close it this year. Right now, they are reviewing a contract with an engineering service to come here this spring and look at the pool, and they're going to do an overall evaluation of the pool to see what it would take to keep our pool open for 10 years. That's their goal, say this is what it's going to cost to keep it open for another 10 years. I don't know what that number will be, and I don't know what the park board will do with that, but they're just kind of gathering information right now. To make a decision in the future. So,
basically, Mark and I mean, we've been working on this, and I know Park Board has been working on this for quite some time. But you know, stat-wise, for the 2.5-3 months the park is open, they lose $30,000 to $40,000, and that money is basically subsidized through the park budget. Now, pools historically do not make money. And we understand that. I think what the park board is trying to figure out is at what point does it become too expensive, or at what point do other services get cut in order to subsidize the pool? And along with that, how much usage of the pool justifies, I guess, the enhancements and the improvements of the pool, or building new, or whatever. I know there was a fair amount of individuals that came to the park board meeting last night. I came late, and they were all gone. But I guess there was a fair amount of individuals there last night, and they had a lot of questions about things that were happening. But it seems like the response was, you know, pretty well even balanced. There wasn't people with pitchforks and
torches.
So.
A lot of them were here with the swim team kids. Of course, they would love to see it open. You know, and I think the park board would love to see it open, but they're just struggling with the financial side of things and the small percentage of the people that really do use the pool in our city. You know, they've broken down a lot of numbers. So it was just more of a communication thing last night, just letting them know where we're at, and it went well.
Was that lost $30,000 for 4 months, or $30,000 a month for 4 months?
No, that was over the 2.5 to 3 months. Okay. That was not per month, yeah. Yeah. Okay. Very good. And I'm sure as that issue progresses, I'm sure you guys will be getting information or getting questions or comments, and obviously feel free to use Mark as a resource and to try to get those questions answered, and trying to do everything that we can to get the word out that, yes, the pool, we're planning on being open, barring any major equipment malfunction or damage that we don't know about from the winter. So, okay. Thanks, Mark. Kelly.
Just an update on the limb pickup. Since we were moving it back out to the curbs, I mentioned going through the whole town before the first April date start on our regular pickup and going through the alleys and getting everything. Kind of talked about it as a group, as a department, decided just to go through the whole town and get streets and alleys. There's so much stuff out right now. It seems like with the nice weather, people are just cleaning up, and it's understandable. So we've got 8 loads so far, and west side's done. We started on the east side, and we've got to finish that up tomorrow yet. So we'll have everything cleaned up initially before April. Jet machine's been out cleaning catch basins, and I attended a workshop last Thursday, Category 8 license for CCU, just to keep the credit hours up
on that applicator's license. Cemetery, we've been getting ready to open the restrooms up and just do some work down there on cleaning up the cemetery and getting ready for mowing season to start. And did some ditch work to try to help a water problem. Did 50 work orders too last week.
Kelly, what's the tell me again, what's the size of the limbs or the wood, I guess, that you guys pick up? I mean, are we talking brush or are we talking limbs?
It states on the acceptable list 4 inches and above, or up to four inch limbs.
Up to 4 inches.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, there's.
And yeah. What about brush? Brush in general is okay, or typically try to stay away from
that? There's a lot of not accepted items like fence row clearing.
Okay.
Whatever reason.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of people. We've had people pull stuff out of a woods to try to clean a woods out and bring out to the street, you know, before. I mean, it's just very full stuff. I mean, we got to have some kind of guidelines, but there's a lot of, like, there are bushes that are acceptable without roots on them and stuff like that. And usually a pickup size load is the biggest pile that we'd like to see.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Questions?
Kelly, what's your plans for mosquito control?
We don't have any money budgeted for it, and we do have some briquettes, so to speak, that we can treat the catch basins with. That's all I have planned this time. That was one of the workshops I went to. There's, you know, communities that just aren't doing it anymore. Some of them are just treating with larvicide, and the adulticiding is kind of, you know, it's more of an emergency thing. If there's West Nile, you know, that the health department's discovered, it's kind of a just emergency thing to go around and spray. When we got into the retreat, I didn't really talk about it too much, but it was part of my retreat information that you know, I still feel pretty strong that you know, it's, I struggle with us trying to control that as a health issue, you know, that the street department's trying to control that. I think it's, I'll say it's more of a county health issue myself. I mean, there's other communities that's who's taking care of it, and you know, when we're kind of watching our budget and things, that's something I struggle with. But you know, that's, I'm just being honest. But we can treat catch basins through working hours. I guess, I don't know if that was your, helps with your question.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some questions asked, you know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation as to what the mosquito population is going to be this summer. You know, there's been a lot of talk about that. So, if they remember when you did spray, it's only been, what, 2 years ago you sprayed? Or has it been longer?
We haven't the last couple, but it's there's so many variables that fall into that. The wind condition, the humidity, you got to have the right time to go out and spray. You just can't say, I'm going to spray at 8 o'clock till midnight, mm-hmm. because if you don't have the right conditions, then you need to call it off. And it's just hard to really control that, you know, and plan to do it. And with the cost of the spray and the fuel prices, and two guys driving around for 4 hours a night, and what it actually does, you know, I think we'd be better off buying 50,000 cans of off and at a city hall and saying, here's your can with your utility bill.
Rosie said next to the bat trappers.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I mean, I think the city has more of a perception of how effective that spraying is versus how really effective it is. And so,
and the workshops I go to, it's to keep your credit hours so you don't lose your credit hours and then have to go back through the Category 8, I can think of, yeah, licensing again. But there's just certain companies that put free workshops on, and when you go to these, 90% of it's them trying to sell the product to you, and the rest of it is actual information that you can use. And it's usually a 6-hour workshop or something. And you know, the chemist, state chemist, ought to be the ones actually putting it on and keeping the manufacturers out of it, or the salesmen. But that's just my opinion.
I think at times that mosquito spraying is a bit of a placebo. You know, I mean, they really, you know, people feel more comfortable when they hear the spray, rather than understanding kind of how. A very short anecdotal story, and that's Amanda and I were cleaning out the backyard, and in a pot, you know, you have the bottom layer of the pot that holds water, and so we pulled the pot, pitched it, and saw these little tadpoles in there, and so we were gonna get, you know, jar or something to watch the tadpoles, and realized that they weren't necessarily tadpoles. They had long, pointy tails, and pretty sure they're mosquitoes. So we help control that population, at least in our backyard. So
them would be tumblers.
Yeah. Very good. Anything else for Kelly? Thank you, Tom.
I would just like to say thanks for that filibuster, Kelly.
Sorry about that. Jackie, you got me scared.
I'm sorry, yes.
I met today with Matt Lorraine, who is the guy, I guess, is going to be doing the fireworks for the Parks Department this year. Things went really well with the meeting with him today, and I hope he'll be signing that permit then on July 3rd. I spoke with the Board of Works a little bit ago in reference to, there's a 1958 fire truck that was donated to the volunteers, Rosie, am I right, about 5 years ago?
Something like that.
And the volunteers are looking to get rid of it, and so I'm going to be getting a bill of sale or something, having them draw up a quote or whatever it is that says as is, to get rid of that truck. Dan, you mentioned a little bit ago about the Jake brake issue. We have two of our fire trucks have Jake brakes on them. I just want to throw out, just because there's Jake brakes don't mean that they have to be loud. I think that might fall underneath a different category that I believe the police department may be able to enforce at this time. But I would hate to see us do away with Jake brakes, because I know that those things can be beneficial in helping stop large trucks, and if they're a safety thing, as well as anything. So just wanted to throw that out there.
Well, that was brought up in the letter back to the resident that wrote the letter. You know, if you take away that, you know, we have a possibility of a lot more accidents. So, you know, that was their explanation. I was just relaying some information from a local resident that did try to reduce that.
Right. I just want to throw out there that they do help stop large trucks. Just kind of a funny note for you guys to hear. We get a lot of phone calls from people trying to sell us things. And got started by one of the other full-time guys. He started saying, well, you need to talk to Mike McGregor. And so McGregor's getting all these phone calls. You hear Mike talking about the phone calls from all the salesmen? Because they're calling and asking for him now.
Well done.
Local business. We changed the ordinance, so we have a ordinance that says that we may cite businesses for fire alarms. And we have one. I've really not wanted to really do anything, but we have one that I had to talk to today and say, we're not only to that point, but if this continues down this path, we're probably going to have to make you do a fire watch, because the fire departments have another thing that we can fall back on, which is the state law for fire watches for problematic systems. And this particular place is getting, we're getting at least one a night. And so, yeah, I've told them it needs to stop. So if you get any, and the director of the business says we completely understand, we just need to get everybody else on board with it. So if you hear any scuttlebutt, I'll be more than glad to discuss that at a later date with you on who that is. And then, Mayor, are you related to, I believe her name was Ashley Daniel?
Ashley Daniel.
Well, I've got a phone call from a young lady, and there was a baby crying in the background, and the phone number that she gave me went away, and I could not fill out the, and she wants to do a burn permit, so
okay.
I'm just waiting for get a complaint that I'm not returning the phone call.
He's not.
I tried to fill in the numbers that I were missing, and I was calling all kinds of random people. And
okay. No, I'm not related to anybody named Ashley that I know of. So,
matter of fact, I even got told to take one guy off his phone list or off the phone list. So,
okay.
That's it.
Okay. Questions of Tom?
Because I'm trying to fill in the blanks.
Okay. Thank you, Tom. Marcia.
Nothing.
Rosie.
I think I talked to everybody at the retreat about refinancing that City Hall bond. Mm-hmm. I didn't know if you guys want me to go ahead and pursue that.
Pursue refinancing the City Hall bond in regards to paying it off early and saving the interest, I guess, if you will.
I think
that's something that, and that will be a formal situation that will be brought to council. And okay, sounds like a yes. Okay, anything else, Jackie?
Nothing else.
I don't think I have anything else. Dan?
Yes, sir.
Nicole?
Nothing.
Bill? Ben? Okay. We call the meeting adjourned.